If we were just having the gospel, I would let it go, but I want to make a commentary first, so I'll just go from there. The gospel is at page 903. The early Congregationalists had services, and they weren't just alone. So were the Methodists and the Presbyterians and everyone else. Church service would be 2 to 3 hours in the morning, and everyone could go home for lunch after fellowship and take care of the cows and everything, and then come back in the evening. So you'd have the teaching pastor would give a presentation on, if necessary, and today I deem it necessary, to talk about the gospel passage. And then the pastor, the preaching pastor, would get up. That's why the two different lecterns, Paul Burton lectern, the preaching pastor would get up and talk about hell and damnation and all the other things that people talked about in the 17th century. And then what would happen is the pastor in the evening would bring a chair and sit it right in the middle of the congregation and have the congregation ask questions and disagree with the pastor and have a dialogue about the scripture. That's the last part is pretty much done when Marty has his discussion at 8:45 in the morning in chapel. But today I do want to talk about the gospel first and give some background to it. I don't think too many people here have been active in Jewish weddings in 2,000 years ago, so we'll take it from there. In today's gospel story, Jesus tells us about 10 bridesmaids. A wedding 2,000 years ago was a long, drawn-out affair. I mean, literally, people came from everywhere, and there were two different parties. Now, the first party was at the first sub-party was at the bride's house, and then there was also a sub-party at the groom's house. And then everybody came together for the wedding, and then there was this big grand party. And we're not talking a party from 7 o'clock in the evening until midnight. We're talking about a party that went for 3 or 4 days. So weddings were major, major events in the life of the community. The party, in this case, started out at the bride's house. And after a few days, Jesus tells us the particular thing. There were 10 bridesmaids, and they were to go out and escort the groom to the wedding place, which was normally the house of the groom's parents. And that's when they would have that second party. With them, with his bridesmaids then, if it was nighttime, they'd have these torches and lamps, and there'd be a lot of light. And what would happen is the entourage, not just the bridesmaids, but the whole entourage of the bride would come along and process into that place. What Jesus was telling us in this story is that 5 of the bridesmaids planned ahead and they brought enough oil to burn in the lamps for the entire evening. They planned that if the groom was late, then they would have more oil to pour into the lamps and torches. And the idea was, again, to create a lot of light and have this major party, a major party in the procession in the darkness that was occurring at that time. Jesus tells us that 5 of the bridesmaids did not plan ahead, and they ran out of oil for their torches. So while they were waiting, their lamps went out. So the 5 who appropriately planned ahead and had enough oil could not give what they had, because they would not have enough light then for the procession with the groom. And don't forget that the second grand party was the one that they were going to. So the unprepared 5 bridesmaids had to leave to find more oil for their lamps. We learn in the story it was midnight. The groom was coming late, and, you know, maybe he had cold feet, we don't know. Sometimes grooms do. But at any rate, when he did get there, the whole idea was to process in. Once they entered, probably for security, they locked the gates, for they did not want strangers and thieves to crash the wedding party. When the other 5 finally got there, they walked back to where the wedding festivities were taking place, but the groom and the parents locked the doors and told them they could not enter. And you can imagine their disappointment. You can imagine their frustration. In fact, I would say absolute frustration. When we look at this story, we have to remember that it begins by Jesus telling us the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, we keep that in mind in the context of the passage. Sometimes when we have a psalm reading, you have a psalm reading and you say, and the Lord is with us, a psalm reading, the Lord is with us, a psalm reading, the Lord is with us. If you keep that in mind during this reading, it starts to make sense, because it's easy to get trapped in the story and not remember that Jesus is telling us very simply, the kingdom of heaven is like this. So With the many levels that every story that Jesus tells, this is the gospel. It is taken from Matthew's gospel at chapter 25, starting at verse 1. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" These are the words of the Lord himself. These are the words of sacred scripture. What can we learn from this story? First of all, the bridesmaids had faith that the groom would eventually arrive. Not one of them left because they lost hope. Not one of them left because they were bored or they were despairing. In fact, Jesus tells us because of the groom's delay, all of them became drowsy. And what did they do? They slept. We can understand this because we know that we can't be awake all the time. We have to sleep also. Notice that Jesus is talking on a number of levels in this parable. In almost every parable, he talks on a number of different levels. On one level, the story is pretty clear. We have 10 bridesmaids. They're all very sleepy. They go to sleep. On the level of the kingdom of heaven, the same bridesmaids are also drowsy. On a spiritual, let's get into heaven level, the 10 bridesmaids are not alert spiritually. And we are not always aware spiritually or conscious of the kingdom of heaven and every thought that we have. Our personal vigilance is the same as theirs. Sometimes we have a lack of attentiveness to the kingdom of heaven, a lack of attentiveness to God's kingdom and to spiritual matters, and we become drowsy also. We also become lethargic at times about spiritual matters. The divine slips away from our hearts. The divine slips away from our minds. Why? Because we're human. It's the human condition. If we return to the bridesmaids and say, what is the difference between them? Jesus tells us very plainly, some were wise and some were foolish. Some planned ahead, some did not. Others, in their thoughtlessness, did not properly prepare for a long evening of waiting in the darkness. And remember, at that time, no street lamps. Darkness was very dark. Many, many years ago, I took a number of group camps to Door County. And I remember being in Door County and looking up at the sky at the group campground, because there were no other campers around us, and just looking at the stars and just seeing more stars than I could ever imagine. And remember, I'm a street kid from Chicago. You didn't see any stars in Chicago. So all of a sudden, there's all these stars, and darkness was really, really dark. On a moonless night, in the dark, it is pitch black. So darkness was dark. So here you have these 10 bridesmaids and other people and their entourage, all in the darkness, and their lamps are going out. Now, what else can we know about the bridesmaids? They wanted to serve. They did love the groom, and they did love the bride. And that's why they were there, and they wanted to help. But some were organized in their lives so that they were ready, and some were not. And Jesus gives us the punchline so we don't miss it. He reminds us that our death can take place at any time. We know neither the day nor the hour. If you reread this parable, keep your focus on verse 1, when Jesus introduced the story. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. So what is the timing to enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said is when there is no timing, because we know neither the day nor the hour. The oil of our lives may run low. And what is the oil of our lives? Is it the love of God? Is it the love of neighbor? And what will happen when we cry out, Lord, Lord, open the gates to the kingdom, and the Lord responds, I don't know you. In our frustration, what do we respond to when the Lord says, I don't know you? Do you think that Jesus used the word Lord in this parable so that the listener would start to look at him as being the Lord? And he intends to pull yourself into this parable so that it becomes applicable to you and to me. You think that Jesus is reminding us that there is a finality to life. We know it, but it's a reminder. And that prudent decisions need to be made by us about our relationship between ourselves and God. Even 2,000 years later, we realize that the wedding started with a pre-party, and that after the wedding, an even larger party was going to take place after the groom arrived, after the wedding. In this story, the five foolish bridesmaids did not give any thought, because of their recklessness, to the fact that they needed anything more than their temporary lamps. They assumed that once the second party started, there would be a lot of torches and oil and food and dancing and wine at that grand party. But there's yet another message. Jesus tells us that we have to be patient for the waiting of the groom being Jesus himself, and the groom will come out of darkness. While we are waiting, we have to have a life strategy. We have to be prepared. We have to formulate a plan simply because we don't know our lifespan. We can die at any time. Now, this is a frightening message. It's a scary message. It's a sobering message. Jesus tells us in this parable that if we're not well prepared, the door may be closed to us. If we're not ready, the entrance to the kingdom of heaven may be shut. Now, that's not what the people at that time wanted to hear, and that's not what you want to hear. It's not what I want to hear. This is a sobering message. And it's not the message of current culture, which tells us that no matter what we do, we get to go to that second grand party. Jesus is clearly telling us that we may not all go to that party. I wanted to share this background to you before I read the gospel because it's not my message. This is the message of the liturgy. This is the message of the gospel to be read today. And again, it's a very frightening message. All I'm trying to do is explain to you what Jesus himself said. But there's some other ideas here too. Jesus tells us that waiting in the darkness should not be done by yourself. It's dangerous. And even in the Psalm, they talk about lions. And yes, there were big cats, and other dangerous animals in Israel at that time. So Jesus is saying, don't be in the darkness by yourself. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, we are together, we are church. So therefore, stick together as church. You will have light. Keep the lights on and make sure there's enough oil. And what is that oil? It's the oil of prayer, the oil of scripture, the oil of the Beatitudes. Maybe it's just simply being nice, even when it's hard not to be nice. Okay? Sometimes we just have to remember that Jesus is the light of the world. But there's another message, too. I think Jesus is telling us to enjoy the first party. We're here in this party right now. We're in this life. And then to enjoy this life. And then when the groom comes, just be ready. Because when the groom comes, we'll go into that second grand party. Life is a gift to be enjoyed, a gift given by God. But while enjoying life, be prepared, be vigilant. We are to be prepared because, as Jesus said, we don't know the day nor the hour. Sobering words, but this takes on what Jesus is telling us because Jesus is sharing with us his very life. And we're going to do that this morning by sharing with ordinary bread and ordinary fruit of the vine in a cup. Jesus is asking us to eat of his broken bread, his broken body, and to drink of the cup and remember that it was the body that was broken for us and his lifeblood that was given for us, and to do so with a vivid memory of who he was. We grow and are nourished because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us and the lessons he taught. Let us be nourished by Holy Communion and remember that the key word is union, union and communion, union with our Lord. When you look at Jesus, his first miracle, as reported in John's Gospel, was the wedding at Cana. Again, not a one-time slot where you just simply took the donkey over to the wedding party and was over there for 4 or 5 hours. This is where you went with your entire family and spent days. So Jesus was at this wedding in Cana, and the wine went out, not just for that one evening, but the wine went out for the entire festivities. Look at Jesus' life, and he enjoyed this life. He had the guy that was up in the tree, and he said, "Come on, I'm coming to your house today for a party." He was at a party when Mary came and washed his feet with precious oils. He was at a party when the Pharisees were talking to him. Jesus enjoyed this life. This was a party, but he was always looking forward to that second grand party, which he knew was waiting him. We don't know what that second party is like. In this case, it was more torches and food and lights and dancing and wine and everything else. We don't know what that package called the kingdom of heaven is like. We don't know what Jesus has in store for us. But we do know that Jesus has said, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. There's a big mansion. And at one point in time in all of our lives, I'm calling you home to be with me." So the message becomes very simple. Keep the fire of your lamps burning, and make sure that you have plenty of oil in flasks with you. Amen.